And sometimes God uses the hammer and chisel of life to bring out what He wants to bring out in us.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Good morning, Breeze Church. Happy New Year. It is here. How many are glad 2025 is gone? What a crazy year, huh? Well, we're so honored to be here this morning. I appreciate Pastor Blake and Brittany giving me the invitation to speak with you this morning and to celebrate the first Sunday of 2026 right here at The Breeze. We have worshiped the last several months several times. My wife and I and some of our family have come out and worshiped with you. And we love what God is doing here. We really do. The first time we came, we could just feel health and growth and a passion. And look here, I mean, it's the first Sunday of the year. Great attendance in the first service. So God is doing something through Pastor Blake and Brittany and the leadership team. And I want you to give it up for them today. I believe 2026 is going to be a great, great year. And I want to give a shout out to Pastor Goss and his lovely wife, Naomi. We have been friends for many, many years. I think we started hanging out back right after the Model T came out. And we've been dear friends with them and the family. And so it's always good to see Pastor Goss and Naomi. And we appreciate the work that they've done here as well. Now, last week, Pastor Goss shared on how to close out the year. And if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to get on and listen to that message, a great message on how to close the year. 2025 is over. It's gone. We can't go back and change anything. We can't redo anything. All we can do is move into this year with expectation and confidence. And you're beginning today 21 days of prayer. Prayer is important. We can only go as far spiritually as we can go on our knees before the Lord. So what you're about to do and you're embarking on the next 21 days prayer and fasting, I believe it's going to set the table for what God wants to do here. Now, just out of curiosity, how many of you ate some good food over the holiday? If your wife's sitting there, you need to raise your hand, guys. After the first plate, how many of you went back for more? Come on. Yeah. Well, that's what I want to speak to you about today, about wanting more. Wanting more. And when it comes to God, there's a lot more. Amen? I want to make a confession today. Since it's the first day of the year, I just feel like I need to get this off my chest, and I feel comfortable here. I feel like this is a safe place. I battled a mild addiction over the years. It's Nutter Butter peanut butter cookies. It's not funny. It's serious. In fact, a few weeks ago, our grandchildren were over, our entire family. We're blessed to have all seven of our grandchildren, our three adult children, living in the area. In fact, if my wife is here, I'd like my lovely wife, Diane, to stand. Diane, are you here? Here she is over here, right over here. Yeah, and we got some of our granddaughters, some of our family there, so good to see you today, yeah. And so the kids were over the house, and Diane broke out some Nutter Butter cookies, and I wasn't going to eat any because I realized I wrestle with this addiction. And so I reached out and took one cookie, and being Italian, you know, you dunk it. You got to dunk if you're Italian. So I dunked it in my milk, and I thought I'm not going to have any more cookies, and all of a sudden the urge came on me for more. And so I reached out, and I grabbed like five cookies, and I tried to pull them back and hide them, and our granddaughter said, "Papa's got five cookies." And so I dropped four of them in the chair next to me, and I said, "No, I only have one." I lied to my grandchildren. But that's what happens when you want more of something that you like. Amen? And that's what I want to speak about this morning. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said this, "Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." That is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Now, if you know anything about Ephesians, you know anything about the Apostle Paul, you know that he prayed two prayers for the church at Ephesus. One of the prayers we read in chapter 1, and we'll go back and forth between the two prayers. The other prayer is in chapter 3. And he prays these prayers with intention and purpose. And he wants God to do something in the hearts and the lives of the Ephesus believers. And I believe that anytime you're not sure what to pray for, you can pray the content of either one of these prayers in chapter 1 or chapter 3 for yourself or even for other people. But I noticed in these prayers that there seems to be a thread, kind of a theme that runs through them. And to me, it's as though he's praying for more. He's praying for more to take place in and through the life of the believers at Ephesus. In fact, I think that Paul is praying that they live beyond the ceiling of their expectation. Let me say that again. He's praying that they live beyond the ceiling of their expectation. Now, that's a word for somebody today. I don't know where your ceiling of expectation is, but God wants to break through that ceiling in 2026. He wants to do something great. So as you begin this year, as you begin your 21 days of prayer, I want to challenge you, and here's my first challenge. Believe there is more that God can reveal to you. Believe there's more that God can reveal to you. Now, some of you, you may have been walking with the Lord for 6 weeks. Some of you have known the Lord for 7 or 8 months. Some of you have known the Lord for 15 years. Some of you, like myself, have served the Lord for 50 years or more. And sometimes, when we know the Lord, we think we know everything about the Lord. But the truth is, whatever we know, we haven't scratched the surface. There is so much more that we can know, so much more that He can reveal to you and to me. In fact, the longer I've served the Lord and the more I know about the Lord, the more I realize there's more that I can know about the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1, the first prayer, verse 16, Paul said, "I do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory," watch this, "may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Paul is praying for this church, for these believers. And he's praying that God would give them more wisdom, more revelation. Revelation means to reveal something that you didn't know, something that was hidden, and more understanding about the things of God. Now, here's what's interesting. He's praying for believers. We know from Acts chapter 19 that Paul went to Ephesus and presented the gospel. And we know that when Paul preached the gospel in Ephesus, God turned the city upside down. People were walking away from paganism. They were burning their paganistic literature. We know that they were repenting and coming to Jesus. We know from Acts chapter 19 that the Ephesus church not only knew Jesus, they were full of the Holy Spirit. And so we see Paul is praying for people who already know the Lord to know more. Praying for those who already know Him to know more, to understand more, to experience more. Even in the Old Testament, we read about David, and we know David was a man after God's heart. Here's what David said in Psalm 63:1. He said, "God, you're my God." He already had a relationship with God. "And yet I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such a hunger and thirst for God, traveling across the dry and weary deserts. So we see David, who knew God, who had the anointing of God on his life. And yet David says, God, there's more of you. I hunger for you. I thirst for you. I want you to show me more, reveal more of yourself to me. How many realize today we serve a big God? Come on, Breeze. Do you realize we serve a big, big God? A great God. You know what's interesting with all the technology that we have in the world today? All of the advancements in science and computers, that man has the capability of measuring the height and the depth and the content or the weight of a mountain. Can you imagine that? That they can actually measure the mass and the weight of a mountain. Man can also measure the mass and the weight of a planet in outer space. We have the capability today, the technology, to measure the depths of the deepest oceans in the world today. But with all of man's great advancement, with all of our technology, man cannot measure the size of your God. God is too big to be measured. He is too vast. And so there is so much more that God wants to reveal to you and me in 2026. He wants to show us more of Himself. So my challenge to you is to go after Jesus this year. In your 21 days of prayer, and even after your 21 days of prayer, in your Bible time, in your reading time, in your devotional time, go after Jesus. Be intentional. Be passionate. Just like I was with Nutter Butter Cookies. You want more of the Lord. Amen? My second challenge is believe there is more of God in you. More, not only that God can show you and reveal to you about Himself, but more that He can do in you. Now, I want to go back to that prayer in chapter 3, the 16th verse. He went on to say that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Strengthened in the inner man. Paul is praying that God would do something in them, that the more God shows them and reveals to them about Himself, that God would do something inside of them. Paul understood that God looks at us and sees potential. When God looks down at you this morning, He sees greatness in you. When I say greatness, it's not because of your natural talent or your personality or charisma. No, it's because God has deposited something in all of us. And so as He looks down upon us, He sees that there is potential in us. It's kind of like an artist. I have no artistic ability. In fact, there are times that when we travel, Diane wants to go into an art gallery, and I go in there and I just stare. I have no idea what that painting, I mean, I understand that's a tree, I understand that's a barn, I understand that's a boat, but I don't know the meaning or the message. People look at that and say, oh, well, the painter was thinking this or that. I don't know what the painter was thinking. But artists have the ability to look at an empty canvas and see something, see potential, and see what they want to bring out of that canvas. Sculptors are the same way. They can take a piece of block or marble and they can carve something out of it. Now, I have family that live in Italy, and we have connected back in, I guess, maybe 2016. No, I guess it was further back, probably 20-some years ago, we connected with my family in Italy. And they own a bakery there. They live in a north-central portion of Italy called Emilia-Romagna. Anybody ever been to Italy? Hey, if you haven't been to Italy, you need to make the trip. Make the trip. And so when we visited there several times, we've been to Rome, we've been to Florence and all these different places, and there's a tremendous amount of artwork and a tremendous amount of sculptures in Italy. And one of the great artists and sculptors is Michelangelo. And we know that Michelangelo had carved quite a few different statues, the statue of David and the statue of the angel and different things. And here's what's interesting. Here's what Michelangelo said. He said, every block of stone has a statue inside of it. And it is the task of the sculptor to discover it. He said, I saw an angel in the block of marble, and I began to carve until I set him free. When God looks at you and I, when He looks at His children, He sees potential. He sees what you can become. He sees what He can do in your life. He sees changes that He can make in you. And He understands that you're created in His image, created in His likeness. And He has put giftings inside of you. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. And sometimes God uses the hammer and chisel of life to bring out what He wants to bring out in us. Sometimes He allows us to go through trials and tribulations. This past year was a difficult year for Diane and I. We transitioned our church and passed it on to Pastor David and Brianna Ferrer. And we did that on March 9th. On March the 26th, I received a phone call at 11 o'clock at night, and they told me that I had a match for my liver. I was diagnosed in 2024 with a malignant spot on my liver. And so we got in the car, and we drove to Tampa, Florida, and I received a complete liver transplant March the 27th of 2025. And then we celebrated our 50-year anniversary. And unbeknowingly, I didn't know you were going to sing One More Day. Because 4 days after I got out of the hospital, I was sitting in Tampa, Florida, in an apartment. We had to live there for a month. And the Lord gave me that song. I'd never heard it before. One More Day. And I thought, God, You gave me one more day. And here I am, many more days. And if He continues to give me one more day, then I want Him to bring out what He wants to bring out inside of me. Even if it goes through the trials of life and the hammer and the chisel of God, God has more He wants to do inside of you. So when you pray for the next 21 days, pray, God, work in me. Do something in me. Back to chapter 3, verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know. That word know is not mental knowledge, it is personal experience, that we might know or experience the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That you, here's the result, here's what God's looking for, that you and I might be filled up to all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. I'm praying that 2026 will be a year of fullness. That God will show more of Himself to His people. That He will reveal and give us a greater understanding of who we serve. But not only that, that He would work in our heart, and that it would be a year of spiritual fullness, more of His love, more of His grace, more of His wisdom, more of His character coming out in us. God, You see something in me that I don't see in myself. And I'm believing 2026 is going to be a great year. Never stop growing as a person. Never stop growing as a believer. Regardless of how long we've known the Lord, how many things we've seen God do in our life or in the life of other people, understand that God is not finished yet. And there's more that He wants to show us and more that He wants to do in us. Never, ever, ever limit the power of God in your life. Amen? The third challenge is this. Believe. Pray and believe there is more that God can accomplish through you. More that He wants to reveal to you, more that He wants to do in you, and more that He wants to accomplish through you. Back to verse 20, chapter 3. Now unto Him who is able to do far more abundantly. That means over and above. That means excessive. That means immeasurable. Beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So that means that no matter how big we ask, He's able to do it. There's not a prayer that you can pray that intimidates God. There's not a prayer that you can pray that God says, that's too big for me to handle. He is able to do far more abundantly, excessively, overflowing without limits. He wants to work in us, watch this, so He can work through us. The purpose of Him revealing more of Himself to us is so He can work in us, chisel away what needs to go, and bring out what He wants to bring out. And the purpose of that is so that He can work through us. The power of God resides in all of us. That's mind-blowing to me. I heard a story about a little old lady that lived way off the beaten path. She lived out in the woods, out in the timber, out in the yucca bushes, as my father would say back in the day, the yucca bushes. I don't know what the yucca bushes were. But she lived way off the beaten path, and she had no electricity at her house. And a neighbor came over and visited from time to time to check on her, and he finally convinced her, you need to get electricity in your house. So she agreed, and he put her in the car. They drove her down to the electric company and introduced her and went through all the process. And so they said, well, we have lines right by your house. We can run a line over to your house, and we can provide you with electricity. So you can have lights, and you can have all the other benefits of electricity. And so they installed it, and she had electricity for the first time. She had power in her house. But about 3 months later, one of the workers at the electric company was looking through her bills and noticed that she was using a minimal amount of kilowatt hours. And he thought there must be a problem. Maybe there's a line deficiency. Maybe she's not getting the electricity she needs. So he got in his truck and he drove out to her house and he knocked on the door. She answered the door, hello. He said, I'm so-and-so from the electric company, and ma'am, are you using your electricity? She said, oh, yes, I am. He said, well, ma'am, I'm confused because I've been looking at your bills and you're only using a minimal amount of kilowatt hours. What are you doing with the electricity? She said, oh. She said, when it gets dark at night, I turn on the lights, and then I go ahead and change my clothes, and then I turn on the kerosene, I light my kerosene lamp, and then I turn the electricity out. He said, ma'am, why would you do that? She said, well, I don't want to use up all the power. I don't want to use up all the electricity. He said, ma'am, you're not going to use up all the power. He said, the power company has enough power to power your house and the neighbor's house and houses within hundreds of miles of here. Use all the power you want. And that's the way it is with Jesus. His power is in you. You are connected to the power source of heaven. And you can put a demand on that power for your life, and you're not going to run out of power. You can put a demand on that power to reach out and pray for other people, to minister to other people. You're not going to run out of that power. Pray in 2026 that God's power would work through you. There's enough power for you, enough power for your neighbor, enough power for all of Fort Myers. Amen? There is no limit to the power of God that we have access to. I love what Paul said in chapter 2, verse number 10. He said, no, we neither make or save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus, watch this, to join Him in the work He does. The good work He does has gotten ready for us, the good work He has gotten ready for us to do, the work we had better be doing. We are born again not just to spend eternity in heaven. We have a job here on earth to do. And God has called us to partner with Him in this great work. And Paul said, the work that he's doing, God has a plan, God has a purpose, and He wants to fulfill that. And we are part of that plan and purpose. And he said, we better be doing the work. So our life has purpose. There is a work for you and I to do. So here's my challenge. Pray in 2026 and allow the power of Jesus to flow to you and through you to touch other people. How many of you know someone who doesn't know the Lord? In your family, your neighbor, a work colleague, all of us know people who don't know Christ. Maybe the Lord wants to use us to connect them to Jesus. So let me land the airplane today. When you pray, be intentional and specific in every one of your prayers. Be intentional and specific. Share the gospel this year. Share the gospel and your personal testimony with your friends and your neighbors. Allow the Holy Spirit to create the right moment and give you the words to share. Find a need and meet that need. Find a hurt and heal that hurt. Find a problem and solve that problem. I believe 2026 is going to be a great year. I believe God has some great things planned for all of us individually, and I believe He has great things planned for the Breeze Church corporately. I believe you're going to see spiritual growth, numerical growth. I believe great things are going to happen. Let me close with this. Many of you have heard the name Helen Keller. Helen Keller was blind since she was a child. And she was the first blind person to obtain a college degree. Helen Keller went on to write 14 different books. She was an advocate at helping people, especially people that had special needs. And here's what Helen Keller said, and I've often kept this quote in my desk drawer. She said, I'm only one person, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I won't refuse to do the something that I can do. There's something all of us can do. There's something that we can do to help a neighbor, to help a friend, to connect someone to Jesus. So, Breeze Church, as you enter into your 21 days of prayer, press in for more. Expect more. And watch Jesus do more in you and through you. I want you to stand to your feet this morning, all across this auditorium.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.